Hey all, Peter Zion here, coming from Colorado. Today we're going to talk about Israel and Gaza. I'm sure I'm going to piss off everyone in this one. So, you know, if you are not pissed off, that would actually be a surprise. So here we go. The Israelis have launched a major invasion of the Gaza Strip, which is where about half the Palestinians live, specifically focusing on Gaza City, which is the largest urban center in the Strip. Tanks are involved, artillery is involved. It seems, from what we've been able to see, incredibly indiscriminate. They seem to be deliberately attempting to drive people just to flee the area and herd themselves into smaller and more compact zones further south. By any definition, this is a horrific conflict, and we're seeing more violence now in the last 2 weeks than we have seen at any stage of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict going back to the 1946, 1947, 1948 period when Israel was created in the first place. There are more than a few reports that allies of the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu are involved in almost gang activity in various Palestinian territories, more in the West Bank than in the Gaza Strip, and under normal circumstances, this just wouldn't fly. Not only would Israeli society not tolerate it, but you'd see a lot of pushback from countries across the world, most notably including the United States. We've seen that from a diplomatic point of view. We have any number of countries, France, United Kingdom, Australia, Canada, who have now recognized Palestine as an independent entity, which from my point of view is completely pointless, because unless you're willing to change the military facts on the ground, none of this really changes anything at all, and I don't think it will. Now, that said, the only country on the planet that has the ability to militarily intervene in Gaza would be the United States, and there is no appetite in any American administration to do that, so I wouldn't count on that either. Anyway, why has it gotten so bad? Why has it gotten so bad so fast? Why are we in this seemingly new chapter in what this region looks like? Five things are going on. First, and most importantly, when the initial attack by Hamas, that's the political slash militant authority that used to rule the Gaza Strip, launched their attack across the border into Israel proper back in October of 2023, more Jews died in a 24-hour period than had died since the Holocaust. You can understand the baseline position that a lot of Israelis are coming from. I don't mean to belittle that in any way. But there's a lot more going on. The second issue is more strategic. Israel has been the superior military power in the region for the better part of the last 60 years, at least since the 1973 wars. There hasn't been any force that can stand up to them on the battlefield or in the air. Over the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, they soundly beat all the Arab states in their neighborhood militarily, and all that's been left is paramilitary and irregular forces like Hamas, militant groups, Hezbollah. But the Israelis dare not let down their conventional military guard, because while Hezbollah and Hamas are threats, they are irritants compared to, say, if Egypt decided to roll in with 1,000 tanks. Well, that changed relatively recently. We now have a completely different strategic map of the Middle East. The Syrian civil war is over and the Assad government is gone, and the replacement government, if it can hold together, big if, I wouldn't call it pro-Israeli, but they certainly don't want to fight with Israel. It's more likely they'll fall into a second civil war that will destroy any military capability of the state. And remember, Israel has already done a few thousand bombing ranges to take out pretty much every arsenal and chunk of equipment that they could find. Number two, Iraq is no more as a conventional threat. Because of the Americans. Number three, Egypt is, if anything, an ally. Same with Jordan through peace deals. Number four, Libya, which used to be an irritant, has fallen apart. And number five, Iran was defanged earlier this year in a series of strikes that didn't simply set the nuclear program back several months, but basically destroyed Iran's ability to defend itself with air defense. So the strategic picture for the first time in modern Israel's history is calm. I don't want to use the word safe. This is still the Middle East. But they're not worried about a conventional invasion from anywhere, which frees them up to deal with some of the unconventional threats that they've never really cared for, ergo Gaza. Third, politics in Israel are wonky. Benjamin Netanyahu, who is the PM, was about to go to prison for bribery and corruption when he was elected last time. And as long as he's the prime minister, he won't go anywhere. So he has a vested interest in making the conflict as hot as possible in order to forge a coalition with the real wackadoos in the Israeli political world who just want to kill everybody who isn't a Jew. And so that coalition has been sufficiently strong to keep Netanyahu in power, and they do not have a vested interest in seeking a peace agreement, even if that was possible. In fact, many of them see that expulsion of the Gazans from the Strip to, say, the Sinai Peninsula isn't even something they want, because they think that the Sinai Peninsula should belong to Israel as well, as long as the West Bank, as long as the East Bank, which includes parts of Jordan. Some of them actually think they should push all the way to Baghdad. And these are the people in charge. So, you have a political alignment in Jerusalem at the moment that is very, not just pro-war, but pro-slaughter, because they know they can't just erase 2.3 million Gazans, so they have to make life so miserable that someone, somewhere, will take them in, and things have to get a lot worse before a country somewhere around the world is going to bring in 2 million people with minimal education and no money. Number four, politics in the United States. Trump went out of his way when he was building his cabinet to make sure there was no one in the cabinet who could ever tell him something that he didn't want to hear. And then he basically gutted the national security apparatus of the United States using people like Tulsi Gabbard, who indirectly or directly worked for the Russians and wanted to destroy it on principle. Marco Rubio is the Secretary of State and the National Security Advisor now, and he actually knows what he's doing, and so Trump has basically shut him and the State Department and the NSC out of the White House so that there's no interaction. So the parts of the American national security apparatus that are still working aren't really allowed to report to the president at all. And the president decides what types of information get in front of him while he's doing everything else he's supposed to be doing, or it comes through Tulsi Gabbard, where it's usually misinformation. So President Trump does not have an accurate view of what's going on in Gaza, much less the rest of the world, and has to compete for everything else that he wants to do for his time. He hasn't basically delegated that. So in many ways, we have the general incompetence of the Obama administration remade. It's just that Obama didn't let anyone in the room. Trump has made sure that there's no one in the room who actually tell him the truth. And that means that the Gaza situation, the Israeli situation, like every situation in the world, is not getting the billet time that it really needs from the American president to make an informed decision. So the United States, who would under normal circumstances serve as kind of a connector between Israel and the rest of the world to make sure things don't go too crazy, that's gone. And it's really given the Jerusalem government carte blanche to do whatever it wants. Fifth and finally, wow, the media is out of control. And I don't mean like the mainstream media, that's kind of become a joke of late. I mean like alternate medias and social medias. Two big themes here that are starting to intertwine in a really destructive way. Number one, anti-Americanism is obviously something that's always been in the system, but over the last 20 years, we've seen it become more organized and more conspiracy-driven and have better hooks for getting into people's brains. And rightly or wrongly, there's a lot of people in that community who see Israel as a front for the United States, or at least as a proxy, or at least as an ally, or whatever. Everybody makes up their own story. And their propaganda has gotten a lot more slick of late. And it's also interfacing with other types of, especially the American political establishment, that just seem weird. So we've seen reports recently of the most far left, radical lefty, crazy commie, socialist, whatever word you want to use, aspects of this group that are starting to quote people like Marjorie Taylor Greene. She is the CrossFit chick from Northern Georgia in the House of Representatives who used to go on about Jewish space lasers. She is now being heralded as an anti-Israeli viewpoint within the United States that's close to the administration, and seeing these two things cross is just crazy. And obviously, the second vein is anti-Semitism of various forms that has been around for a long time, but also now is a lot more slick and organized and coherent, and these two things are blending together to make a really powerful narrative that doesn't have to have facts. That's part of the general degradation of information communication we've had across the world in the last 20 years, where facts and figures go out and the narrative is all. That really applies to this situation in every possible way, even before you consider the level of the violence that is going on in Gaza. So if you're looking for a solution here, I do not have one for you. If there was a solution to the Palestinian situation, we probably would have bumbled into it by accident at some point over the last 60 years. That's not going to happen now. There is literally no place for the Gazans to go if they were to be relocated. And as long as they are living in Gaza, they are completely dependent upon food aid from the outside world, which the Israelis can turn on or off at a whim. So, as a result, we get this, not so much of a stalemate, but this extreme increase of violence by the Israelis against the Gazans. And before you decide that you want to jump on the bandwagon of condemning the Israelis, keep in mind that Hamas is the one that started this. But more than that, Hamas has never, ever had the goal of actually having a two-state solution or modern independent Palestine. They want a global caliphate where everyone who isn't Islamic is killed. So, as always with this fight, careful who you condemn, careful who you cheer for.